Hey, football fans, picture this. You bet on your favorite player to score the first touchdown in the game, but his teammate scores instead. If this happens, BetMGM wants to give you a second chance at the end zone. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you'll get your stake back if your first touchdown scores second instead. That's right. Bet on any pro football player to score the first touchdown of the game. If you're right, you win. If your player scores second, you get your stake back in cash. With BetMGM's second chance offer, you have a chance to keep the fun going after the first player crosses the goal line. Try a first TD score wager with confidence today. BetMGM, make it legendary. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. See BetMGM.com for terms. 21 plus only. This specific promotional offer is not available in Mississippi, Pennsylvania, Puerto Rico, or Ontario. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369 for New York. 1-800-NEXT-STEP for Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 for Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-ALL for Iowa. 1-800-981-0023 for Puerto Rico. Existing customer offer. Subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards paid back and unrestricted withdrawable funds. In partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel.
Welcome to You Had Me At Podcast, where we fall in love with romantic comedies all over again, one decade at a time. I'm Jess Sterling, and of course, I'm joined by my co-host, who definitely isn't here for the right reasons, Stuart. Stuart, how are you?
I'm good. What are the right reasons? What are the wrong reasons?
The only right reason is love, and every other reason is wrong.
So we give up our dreams, our aspirations, the things that make us who we are for love.
For love. Yeah.
Ugh, disgusting.
I know. It's atrocious.
Good thing we're reviewing rom-coms, right?
Obviously, I'm supposed to be the romantic, and yet here we are. Talking about the wrong Paris, your 2020s movie pick.
Oh, yes.
Wow. Thoughts? I can't wait to talk about this one. I will say this was such a joy to watch. Because here's the difference between this film, which is ridiculous. It is inherently insane. It is inherently like a bad movie. But the thing is it knows it's a bad movie. And it leans into the fact that it's a bad movie. Whereas... Yeah. Movies that shall not be named, Merv, take themselves so seriously, and they try to do this whole thing of she can't have babies and blah. Oh, and it's so sad and dramatic. No. Be silly, be ridiculous, lean in, and we're here for it.
Give us the com. We came here for a rom-com. Don't just give us the rom and then some drama. No, thank you.
This isn't a rom-drom.
Exactly. That's a different podcast. Someone probably records that. There are so many podcasts. I don't doubt it. But we are here for rom-coms. And I want some com with my rom. I thought this brought tons of it. I discovered this when me and my friends, we were like scanning through Netflix looking for trash films. We saw it pop up and we were like, that looks like trash. And we laughed, we ridiculed it the entire way through. But I think it's kind of designed to be like that because, like you said, it's so in on the joke. So you don't kind of feel bad for mocking it. And I kind of, I'm not going to lie, as someone that's now watched this film twice, which I think is probably more times than anyone has ever watched this film.
I don't know, because I also have seen it twice.
Really? You watched it twice?
I did. Well, to be fair, I did watch it on a faster speed the second time. But that is because I couldn't help myself. And I was so intrigued by this movie that I watched it. We take two weeks in between recordings. I watched it so early in the 2 week break that I was like, I need to refamiliarize myself for the podcast. So yeah, I watched it on a higher speed, but I did watch it a second time. So I
had to rewatch it for the expansive lore, like the deep details. He might miss the Easter eggs, all the references.
Listen, I am nothing but a consummate professional, you know. gotta watch it twice for the podcast. So yeah, no, I've also seen this movie now twice. But I want to give people a little bit of a recap at the top in case they were like, listen, you made us watch Merv and we will not be watching any further movie you talk about. And we're just here.
Understandable.
To listen.
Yeah, if anyone's in that position, totally understand. Yeah, that was a bad time in this podcast's history.
And here's the thing:
we won't talk about it.
No, but the only thing in my defense I will say is that that's the only movie so far that neither one of us had seen before we covered it. And I think that just goes to show, like, you can't do that. We need someone screening these things.
Don't do new things. Don't try new things.
Don't try new things.
Do what's familiar.
It's what we've learned. So at the top, let me give a quick recap of what happens in The Wrong Paris. A young, aspiring artist and Texan, Dawn, aspires to go to art school in Paris, but she can't afford it because she's a martyr who paid for her grandma's medical expenses. And of course, her parents are dead because she's tragic. After hearing this season of The Honey Pot will take place in Paris, she applies to be on the show, which is basically this movie's version of The Bachelor, where young hot singles vie for the attention of one hot man. So Dawn figures she can get on the show basically as a way to fly to Paris because the cost of airline tickets are out of control. So she needs to be able to fly for free. So, and then she decides, well, I'll just use the appearance fee to pay for my schooling and BD. Unfortunately, there's a twist this season, which is that it's not going to be taking place in Paris, France. Instead, it is taking place, stop the face, Stuart. I'm not
France.
From there. France. Don't, do they say France? Do they say France? What do they say? They say France or France?
This, the accent just makes it sound like you go France.
Is this like a Uruguay? What was the other one you asked me about once? I don't remember. It started with a B, doesn't it? You asked me how I pronounce something. It was a location, not like Bali. It was something. And then Budapest? No.
No.
There was some place where you said that, like, yeah, Americans pronounce this stupidly.
Narrow it down.
I could look through our Discord notifications, but I'm not going to. Anyway, the twist is that it's not going to take place in France. Instead, it will take place in Paris, Texas, which is only an hour from her hometown. However, fortunately for her, the lead is a sexy cowboy with like 17 abs that she just met a few days ago in a bar. And naturally, the two fall in love, blah, blah, blah. Literally no one cares because I want to talk about the other contestants. We have Cindy, yes, who is the Cinderella pageant queen who always wears a tiara. Lexi, the cutthroat influencer and Dawn's biggest competition. Jasmine, Dawn's roomie and bestie, who's a scientist and falls in love with a dorky production assistant. And honestly, who cares about the other names? You just need to know that there's a biker, tough and tumble kind of gal, and another one who's obsessed with making babies. And it's incredible. So Lexi, of course, finds out that Dawn isn't there for the right reasons and outs her Paris secret to Trey, who's the leading man's name, who I haven't mentioned thus far, because also, like, literally, who cares?
He's a set of abs. That's all he is.
He is a set of abs with a cowboy hat. He, of course, ditches Dawn, but fear not, because Dawn goes to school in Paris. And of course, the finale takes place there, and which is where she professes her love and explains that she does have real feelings for Trey, and she proves it by giving up the money that she made on the show in order to make this confession to him. Now, Trey and Dawn scheme the system and get Dawn the money that she needs to stay in Paris, because when he offers her the honey, aka him, or the money, you know, the money, she takes the money and everyone wins. And we end the movie with an incredible blooper reel, as all movies should be required to have. And that is The Wrong Paris.
Yay. Fraud. Fraud. Yay. Ooh,
listen, am I ever going to be down on anyone for taking money from big corporations? Absolutely not.
Well, especially corporations that waste as much money as they do on a private jet that circles around in the sky for 9 hours to convince them that they're going to Paris.
Yeah.
Unbelievable. Yeah. This was like the point in which I realized that I fell in love with this film, because when we were all watching it, everyone just went, how the hell do they not realize they've been up in the air and they've been down 2 seconds later? And then they explain that little plot hole with such a ridiculous concept. I was like, yeah, sold, I'm done. I'm here for the shenanigans. Strap in. This is going to be a ride. Amazing. And then, like, top it all off with just the most absurd cast of, like, people, which you would expect in reality TV. I think I've never really watched many of the, like, Bachelor shows and all of that, so, but I know of them to an extent.
It's a real thing. A lot of it is, yeah, especially after this many seasons of the Bachelor universe, right? You will do anything to stand out. And so the limo entrances are, like, known for being insane, and people do weird and wild things. And there's always, like, oh, this one is the princess, and this one is, like, the small town girl, like Dawn is. Like, you always have, you know, like, I don't remember what even her name is, and who cares, but, like, the one who, like, definitely is just a lesbian on the show, like, the, you know what I mean? Like, we're putting these, like, very stereotypes of people on the show. And this movie leans in, especially with the lower thirds, like the Chiron. Is that the, what it,
right? I think, yeah.
They lean in with that in the best way, especially, like, there are moments when they're all being required to do, like, farm work, and it's, like, allergic to hay or, like, whatever on the lower thirds. It does such a good job at just being the most. They're, like, literally one girl twerks on a mechanical bull. Like, it's so good. It's so good.
I see, this is the thing. I understand why people would go on these shows and feel the need to brand, because everyone that goes on reality TV, like, I don't think anyone has aspirations of reality TV for the remainder of their lives. But obviously, if you build a brand, you become a thing and you're recognized, you become celebrity from that. So if you build a brand that way, then it's, like, a key thing to do. But I think coming out as a stereotype of, like, I'm the small town girl kind of thing, I'm like, is that a brand? Like, surely, I don't know, maybe I'm bringing, like, a Drag Race thing to this, because I think, like, the branding for certain queens on that is very unique in some areas. But, like, to come out and be like, I'm a very stereotypical this, Is it for, like, future branding purposes, or is it just remember me in this season?
I think it's notoriety in terms of this could lead to something else, right? Like, getting enough attention and, like, recognition to turn it into something else, or even become, right? A lot of the thing with the Bachelor, Bachelorette stuff is, you want to be a well-known contestant on your season so that you could be the next Bachelor or Bachelorette if you're one of the contestants, right?
That's why they had the thing at the end about Lexi being set up to have her own season next. Okay, that makes sense. I didn't realize they probably did that in coming back. Oh, I thought it'd be like a one and done.
Not always. But for a long time, it was very commonplace for either, like, the third place, fourth place, like, sometimes runner up, to become the next, like, if you're watching a season of The Bachelor and there's a pool of women, one of them will be the next Bachelorette, and then vice versa for Bachelor. Now, recently there was, like, some controversy because one of the most recent choice for Bachelorette is a Secret Lives of Mormon Wives person, which is different, like, very, very unusual for that series. But yeah, it's very commonplace for that to happen. So you want to be memorable on your season. And it feels like that's what Lexi is doing. Like, she is kind of being, she is the archetype that is an influencer, has a large social media following. And I love that the show also commented on one of the producers, creators, whoever that guy was, saying, why are you interested in Dawn? She has no social media following. She's not going to buy us anything. Let's bring on Lexi, who has a couple hundred thousand Insta followers that will watch our show as a result. Mm-hmm. Like, this is a real thing, you know? And then, of course, you have the, like, oh, well, but she's not here for the right reasons. And it's like, okay, if you all were just really only interested in love, you're probably not putting yourselves on reality television to find it. Like, yeah, you know, so who is here for the right reasons? Dawn's reasoning is, I want to go to Paris. Now, should she tell the producer that? No, you dumb fuck. You absolutely shouldn't be saying that to a producer. You signed a contract. But Dawn is an idiot. And, you know, that's just, that's life. She's naive. And, you know, she's just a girl trying to make her way in this world, you know?
Just trying to make her way. Well, that's the thing. Like, Lexi isn't necessarily, like, she's not in it for the right reasons either. She just weaponizes the fact that she finds out what Dawn's wrong reasons are and manages to kind of, like, drive a wedge between Dawn and Trey. I was wondering, in terms of Dawn and Trey, do they have chemistry? Because I thought they did. And I'm not sure if it's just the Merv effect, as I'm going to call it, in the sense that we just have gone from a couple who should not be together.
The bar was on the floor, yeah.
Yeah, and I'm like, I don't know. I just, like, there was something about the way in which they kind of flirted in the bar. I was like, oh, that works.
It's and not then, not there, but yeah. The problem was anytime Trey spoke, I was like, oh, he's like, he's trying to do a Matthew McConaughey impression. And yes! That, like, was very distracting in terms of, like, believing. And then there were times where Dawn's accent came and went. Like, it was like in the very beginning of the movie when she's in the bar meeting Trey, it's almost there. She has a little twang. Mm-hmm. And then, listen, I'm not critiquing. I should not be critiquing accents, but I'm not an actor, so I will. It really was, like, coming and going at times. And Texas is an interesting place. Like, you can have those, like, real deep Southern drawl, you know, that kind of a thing. But there's, like, less, you know, stark, you know,
Yeah, you still get cities and you get accents kind of being lost to the kind of metropolitan culture, like, bringing other accents in and everything kind of mixing and getting lost a little bit. And, but yeah, I mean, did you really expect Miranda?
Oh, no. And I didn't care.
LA to maintain a Texan accent?
Yeah, I didn't care at all. It was just, I thought their chemistry wasn't bad. But, like, if I'm not putting it up there on, like, the Mount Rushmore of, like, best, you know, chemistry between romantic leads in a movie. They were believable, I guess, is how I would put it. Yeah. Like, I believed... They worked as a couple.
Yeah. Thus far, then, out of all the films that we've reviewed, which one has the best chemistry? I don't think this is something that we've really assessed.
I think up there for me, I would say either couple in 10 Things I Hate About You, but probably I would lean towards Heath Ledger and what's her face?
Yeah, Julia Stiles. I'm leaning the same. I kind of think, yeah, because even, yeah, the holiday.
The holiday with the eyelid kisses. It really does throw me off in such a bad way.
Can we go a podcast without talking about that, please?
We can't help it. So, yeah, I think if we're talking best chemistry, I would probably lean towards the 10 Things I Hate About You. Either couple, honestly, I think both of them had pretty good chemistry. Both couples had good chemistry. I mean, again, not bad chemistry here. I do, again, love how this movie really leans into the ridiculousness of it. When Trey is, like, I don't know, spraying the horse, cleaning the horse, washing the horse, bathing the horse.
Is what that a thing horse? That happens? He was washing it like it was a car. Like,
not only that, but he wasn't washing it. He was spraying himself. Like, what? The whole time, just spraying himself, like, ugh. And the hair that is, was, like...
I took that to be, like, cinematic kind of, like, license to, like, just, you know... She was feeling it. Like, she was there. Like, she's fanning herself. She's being fanned, like, at the same time, because she's, like... She's liking what she's seeing. And I kind of think that, like... I think maybe... He, like, spritzed the horse a little bit, got a bit wet, and she's like, woo! And everyone's
I viewed it as almost the opposite, where he notices her seeing him, and so he goes for the dramatics knowing that she's watching. But again,
I mean, either is possible with this film, because it's absurd.
Yeah. The amount of times that they're like, how can we put him in a situation in which we see his abs? Like, just so
they
many.
Are really prominent abs. Like,
they bronzed the fuck out of them. They had to have. There's no way those are actually real.
They can't be real. Contoured.
Yeah, and they had to reapply that body makeup constantly because of all the water.
Jesus. But, like, he's, like, huge and, like, kind of, like, any opportunity to have the abs out, they are out and, like, in the scene. I think, like, in the opening scene when he arrives, he's just, like, his shirt is open for no reason.
No.
Whatsoever. And it's just, like, this is gratuitous is what it is. Yeah. They know, the audience
knows it is, right? Like, the moment where they're filming his arrival and introduction to the women, and they have that production assistant run through with, like, the little smoke bomb thing, and one of the contestants is like, what the heck? Like, what's going on? So good.
Honestly, production element to a lot of this was just chef's kiss in terms of, like, how, like you said before, like, how they kind of nailed the absurdity of reality TV, but also not really strained too far away from the realities of how absurd reality TV is. Mm-hmm. Like, all the conversations between, I think it was Rachel and Carl, the producers, like, were totally what I would expect them to have. And that, like, you've got, like, the one that we're rooting for who is pushing Dawn and the story element and stuff like that. And then you got Carl, who's just like social media followers and the trash heap of, like, what you'd expect from it. And I liked that dynamic really well because on the one hand, you kind of, I mean, the whole thing is trash. Like, let's not, pushing one narrative here isn't exactly going for, like, high art here. So it feels like a bit like silly to judge one more than the other. But really, we don't want the social media following one. We want the love story. We want the one that's going to get them an Emmy, right?
Hey, football fans, picture this. You bet on your favorite player to score the first touchdown in the game, but his teammate scores instead. If this happens, BetMGM wants to give you a second chance at the end zone. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you'll get your stake back if your first touchdown score second instead. That's right. Bet on any pro football player to score the first touchdown of the game. If you're right, you win. If your player scores second, you get your stake back in cash. With BetMGM's second chance offer, you have a chance to keep the fun going after the first player crosses the goal line. Try a first TD score wager with confidence today. BetMGM, make it legendary. BetMGM and game system. You to play responsibly. See BetMGM.com for terms. 21 plus only. This specific promotional offer is not available in Mississippi, Pennsylvania, Puerto Rico, or Ontario. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369 for New York. 1-800-NEXT-STEP for Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 for Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-ALL for Iowa. 1-800-981-0023 for Puerto Rico. Existing customer offer. Subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards paid back and unrestricted withdrawable funds. In partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel.
However, the one thing that I found really unbelievable and, like, making no sense to me, even though I understood the reason for it, was I don't know why Rachel was so obsessed with Dawn. Like, when she meets her, she barely talks with her. She spends, like, 2 minutes with Dawn, in which Dawn lies about being a big fan of the show. But I really don't feel like we get anything from Dawn that should make Rachel like Dawn as much as she does and, like, have such a vested interest in Dawn going far on the show, to the point when Rachel shows up and, like, sits at the coffee shop with Dawn in Paris and she's like, oh, and here's a dress and you should come. It's like, why do you love her so? Like, why are you so obsessed with her? Like, I don't see it. I don't get it. I don't know why Rachel, because Dawn isn't great TV. And here's the thing.
True.
A good love story can be good TV. I don't think Dawn in particular makes great TV, specifically because all of the real emotional, like, actual connective moments she has with Trey are not filmed. Like, they run away from the cameras. So that's the stuff that I could see Rachel being, like, invested in, but she's not around for any of that. So I really didn't understand Rachel's investment in Dawn at all. It made no sense.
Well, I wonder if I've got two theories here. One, she's completely just done with the whole show. Like, she's just so tired of these people who are just chasing, like, short-lived fame, and she actually wants a love story. Maybe, like, she wants to reconnect with, like, the truth thing of what the show could have been at the beginning, which was actually matching up people. Maybe there is an element of the kind of the romance and wanting that kind of thing. And maybe it is this kind of, she's serving that, you know, sage wise person that's like, I see real love and this is real love and I'm going to push real love. My second theory is, though, she's a producer who thinks that this schmuck is going to choose love at the end, therefore saving $250,000. And he's going to give her prize money back, therefore saving $30,000. She's trying to cut costs.
She's
because they spent
queen.
So much. Yeah, because they spent so much money on a freaking private plane to fly around for 9 hours.
Yeah. Well, although she did save money by not actually bringing them to Paris, right? Like filming in Paris, Texas, on the Leeds farm.
Oh, yeah.
I
yes.
assume it was his own, right? It was his own family farm.
Yeah, it was his ranch. Yeah, yeah.
Come on now. We're saving money there.
Saving some money. I mean, saved on right. some plane tickets for the others because they only brought over the final three, if I remember rightly.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's true. Okay, so yeah, I could see it. It just was like, why does she love Dawn so much? Like, I mean, I don't know. You know, Dawn is one of the more, you know, quote unquote, real people. I loved the hints that Dawn's sister was giving her of like, okay, you want to do poorly on the show. Here are the things you need to do. Don't make eye contact with the lead. Eat all of the food because no one eats on these shows. Yeah. I thought that was just a funny anecdote that I totally believe to be true, that like no one actually eats the food. And I love the callback to that when we get all the women in the pantry
just stuffing their faces.
Yeah,
yeah, that was so great. And like referring to the whole looking to the eyes as a love vortex and just being like, don't look at the eyes, don't look at the eyes. It's yeah. like, yeah, the callbacks to that were like, quite like funny. I must admit, when they were scarfing their stuff down, I proper lost it because it was like so true. Because no one wants to be like filmed eating, and of course you're gonna go
chicken
like
chicken wings. Like I'm sorry, yeah. of all the things to be filmed eating, like I think you want to avoid things like chicken wings and ribs that are like messy and can get on your face. Anything phallic shaped, like you're probably not going to be eating like yeah. a popsicle or a hot dog. Like you know,
well it depends. It depends on your approach to how you're going to win over the Bachelor, right? If you
just shove those corn dogs in that gullet.
Oh, not go, corn baby. Dog.
Like corn dogs are delicious.
Yeah, I don't doubt that they're delicious, but probably not the best thing. I don't know. This is getting a weird conversation.
Yeah, but I love that. First of all, the chicken wings that Dawn is eating look dry as hell and not good. But like in that moment, ugh, not good at all. Yeah. But like, yeah, I think so, overall the movie did a really great job at like showing the ridiculous stereotypes and kind of behind the scenes of what this sort of a show probably is like, obviously to the extreme. Mm-hmm. But I liked the competition aspect too. I thought that was really fun, having the women go in competition to win a date, but also money, which then they could theoretically give up to stay, I guess, which doesn't yeah. make much sense. It's like, oh, I don't like you. I want you off the show. It's like, but I'll give up my money to stay for you. It's like, girl, he already rejected you. Like, why? But
poor
know.
Cindy. Just, such a good name choice as well. But yeah, the whole yeah. like competition thing, is that not part of the like the Bachelor shows already?
No, usually it's like, okay, I'm assuming there's a massive part of production involvement here, but usually like on any given week, there's going to be a group date, which has a bunch of people on it. There's going to be like a one-on-one date. So, you know, one-on-one. And then occasionally there's like a two-on-one where it's like, if it's the Bachelor, it's the Bachelor and two women. And usually only one of them stays. So the producers always do it. So it's like, oh, these two women aren't getting along. Let's put them on the two-on-one date. And then he gives out like a rose on the date to one of the two. There's even one season where like, trying to remember, they were in some location and it must have been like on a mountain or something, like ski lodge sort of a vibe, and the girl picked the one guy and the other guy just gets left behind and they go off in like a helicopter and the other guy gets just left on top of the mountain.
Yes. That is the definition of third wheel, like
yeah,
that's cringe as hell.
Now,
so they only go on dates like What fills up the time of this show?
That's like, how the women and or men get so close, is because they're just in a house together in the off.
Wow.
But there also are moments where, like, I know, as an example, okay, so let's pretend you have a large group date and it's like 10 women or something, right? Sometimes they'll have them do, like, I know one year they did like a pickleball game and it was like five women versus five women, and whichever women won the pickleball game got to continue the date. And then the other five women went like back to the house. So you get a little bit more time. So like there are moments when, oh, out of all these 10 women, I'm going to choose this one woman to continue the date with. Like, you impressed me with XYZ. We're going to continue a one-on-one date. So like that's a thing that does happen. But it's not, there's no money usually involved in any of it. Like, you can't win money because, again, that's not the right reason for being there. But also you're winning time more so. So that is a thing like this had, right? You get the one-on-one date. But there are so many more people, contestants at the beginning of the show. Like, you start with like 30 people or something crazy, and whittle it down.
I think I prefer this one with the challenges.
Well, like, obviously,
so much better. Yeah, like, bring that.
Like, have them wrestling in the mud. Absolutely, yes, please.
The assault course was just, oh, such an excuse for just absurdity. Like, the GoPro camera shots, especially Alexi running through, and I can't remember her name, but the one that's like, goes out to exercise, and their exercise, instead of like just running off on a jog, is just fucking punching and kicking. Is she like?
Yes, the one who puts Cindy on her back to run through the tires. Just incredible. They and then of course Cindy's tiara falls in the mud and she's like sobbing. It was really fun. Yeah, I wish they did this sort of a thing on shows like The Bachelor and Bachelorette. I mean, I don't religiously watch these shows, but I've seen enough of them to know. I will say I do enjoy like the Golden Bachelor, like the older people, because they just don't give a shit. They don't care. And that's so much more interesting to me than like young hot singles. But yeah, I thought they did a really good job at like poking fun at this sort of like a romantic reality television show. Again, well, not, I didn't particularly care about Dawn going to school in Paris and blah, blah, blah. Like, literally no one cares. I like that they were able to, like, in the end, they're like, oh, you're going to propose. I'll say no. Win-win, you know, we'll stay in Paris. We'll hang out.
I kind of like the scheme. Yeah, I did like that. Like, it's like the pair of them got a win. Like, it wasn't just, oh, you get the guy, but you don't get Paris. It was like, no, let's have them earn both. I thought that was a great way of like getting one over on the production, at least. So that was really good. Thing is, though, is Paris Art School really going to help her? Because that art was fucking atrocious. Like,
unbelievable that she was even able to get into art school. I mean, whatever, girl. Like, they're like, oh, she's a farm girl. Like, look, she's doing not smelting. What is it called? Blacksmithing, welding. Look at her. Yeah. She wears overalls. Isn't she boyish? And I'm like, girl has 15 pounds of makeup on. No, she's not. But no, she doesn't have good art. Whatever. I didn't care.
It's not my vibe at all. Like, I go around like garden centers and you see like the weird kitschy stuff that people have made from like, oh, I've upcycled this. I'm just like, yeah, but it still looks like shite.
No, it was nothing special. However, I will say Girly Pop Jasmine, absolutely adored her. I thought she was so freaking cute, so funny. I love the moment her and production assistant guy made eyes.
Oscar?
I was like, it's happening. It's happening. It's happening. And I got so excited because I loved Oscar. He's such a fuck up. And I loved him for it.
When he trips and like messes it up in the opening shot, I was like, oh, buddy, this is not going to go well.
He's great. Like, I love him.
I kind of like the way in which they kind of just milked the script a little bit and was just like, let's just chuck in that little storyline. Doesn't have to go anywhere. Doesn't have to be a big thing. Just have them. Like, it's like, what, three lines in the entire show of like them having a thing. Also the whole like getting the good shots and stuff. It's like, I'm so good. of just yes. like the reality like filmers, just like, because they have to do that stuff all the time, right? Like they've got to film everything.
Yeah, they're hiding in the like, bushes stealthy. During the like hot tub scene.
Yeah,
it was great. They did a great job. I thought it was really fun. I don't know. I really enjoyed this movie for what it was, is the thing. Like I said, a show that knows what it is and doesn't take itself too seriously, I'm always going to appreciate more than something that is like trying too hard. Like I would even say, okay, here's a good example for anyone who watches like some love reality television dating show stuff. I would say, you know, Merv is like The Bachelor or Bachelorette, where it's like trying to be a specific thing. It is like trying to be this like over the top romantic thing and is like wants you to buy into that narrative. And this movie was much more like Bachelor in Paradise, which is where they take all of the rejects from Bachelor and Bachelorette universe, put them on an island and see what happens. And they do this like ridiculous intro song every year where it's like almost paradise, we're knocking on heaven's door, and they all have the most like cheesy like Saved by the Bell intros where it's like one of them like, okay, let's pretend the woman has like big boobs, she's like holding up two coconuts, there's another one who like trips on the beach and then he like like looks at the camera.
No.
It knows what it is, you know, and it leans in.
I hate that, but I kind of want to watch it.
It's because it knows it's trash. It knows it's trash, you know?
Yeah.
So.
That's the trick. It's got to be self-aware. Because I think the moment you start taking yourself too seriously in anything like this is when you completely jump the shark. You, like, you become something that is just laughable. Yeah. No one enjoys it. Like, because anyone that's, like, watching this for, like, highbrow stuff is just not going to be your target audience. Go for the people that are there and know that they're there for the trash. Like everyone needs a decompression show. Everyone needs a good bit of rubbish in their life.
Yeah.
Because this is the thing. Not everything has to be, you know, art. Like, I think it was, there's a great comedian over here in the UK called Cathy Berg. And she won Comedy Award years and years ago for a show called Gimme Gimme, which was very much lauded as being like kind of quite trashy and like not exactly like it went for the cheap laughs kind of thing. And when she accepted the award, she was like, you can keep the Grouch show, just sometimes put on the telly. Like some people just want to sit down and just watch TV. Mm-hmm. And I kind of like think that you like everyone needs that now and then. And I think if you only watch prestige dramas and prestige like great stuff, you're not going to get enjoyment from it because you're just going to be like constantly dreary and serious and like not even like I don't, just enjoy a good laugh at like something absurd and stupid.
Yeah, sometimes you want filet mignon and sometimes you want McDonald's, you know, like it just is what it is. And sometimes you want the trash and that's okay. And this is the good trash that knows it's trash, that isn't trying to not be trash. You know, that's what I love. That's what I really enjoyed about this movie. So I really had a great time with it. No regrets watching it. I thought it was really fun.
That's reassuring. Because I was kind of worried when I recommended it.
No, it was ridiculous. And we did get some feedback kind of echoing our sentiments. Emily says, this movie was perfectly fine. It knew exactly what it was and leaned in. Several moments genuinely made me chuckle. I thought all of our main characters were cast really well. The chemistry between the leads was believable and even a little cute. I'm not offended that I spent time watching it. It's a perfect second screen movie. Want a movie on in the background that you can play while doing other things? This is the prime candidate. So I agree with that. I think that it's a perfectly adequate film. And then Emily also had a question. What dating reality show archetype are you? Cinderella, rough around the edges, baby crazy, small town country girl, crazy biatch, wifey, nosy Nelly, the mom, class clown, loner, queen bee, something else. What do you think, Stuart? Do you fit into any of these categories or something else?
Out of all of those, I'm going to say nosy Nelly because I do love me a gossip. Like, I love me. Like, I'm never one to be included in the gossip. probably for the right reasons, because I think people get the vibe from me that I do love a good gab. And yeah. Like, what's the tea? It's probably that. Maybe?
Yeah.
What about you?
I think I don't know what the name of this would be, but I know it's a thing that happens on like shows like The Bachelor. There's always a woman who is like very much friends with everyone, but like has no interest in the lead. Super friendly. And basically what happens is when that girl gets kicked off, usually like 2/3 of the way through, where it's whittled down quite a bit, but you're not at like the final group yet. When that person gets kicked off, her and the lead are like both fine, but all the other girls are crying because they're all really good friends. That's me, I think. I think I would just have like a really fun time and not care about the romantic parts.
Yeah.
You know?
I get that vibe. Yeah. I can absolutely see that. Definitely.
Yeah. I don't know what that one would be called, but it happens a lot on the show. Maybe like Mother Hen is almost like what it is. Not that you're like a mom, but like you're like leader of the women or something.
Yeah. Like I can certainly see that. Like I kind of think that you're there and you're like, this whole scenario is stupid. That's going to like, I think maybe win you the affection of everyone around you, including the potential bachelor who's kind of like, yeah, it is. Yeah. And like connect with you on that kind of level. But he's like, but fundamentally I'm here to get wifed.
And it's like you hang around because you are like fun to be around for a good while and like you're friendly and everything, but like also then it's like, okay, well I have to get serious now. That's where I think I would land.
I will say this whole thing with like this type of show has been illuminating for me, because like recently what with like Traitors and stuff, Gabby Windy has come up in conversation a fair bit recently. And my only context for Gabby's existence was initially The Traitors and then subsequently her TikTok, which I adore so much. She is unhinged in the best way. She just goes on these weird, almost like Christopher Walken, like cadence rants where she just says stuff in the weirdest way. And I'm like, and she was on The Bachelorette, has since come
The Bachelor,
Oh, she was on The Bachelor. I thought she was the one that they were vying for. Okay, no. So she was one of the contestants. Interesting. And since come out and got married, I would love, if it didn't work out, Gabby Windy, Bachelorette with like all the bachelorettes. Has there ever been like queer bachelor or bachelorette?
No, and that's another thing that like the show gets. I wish they did it more like there used to be a show on MTV called Are You the One? And originally it started out as heteronormative, and it was like 10 men, 10 women, and you had to find your like perfect match, or maybe it was called Perfect Match. I don't know. It was called Are You the One? And they had to find like, and so it was almost like a game of like a brain teaser where like you'd choose a couple that was matched up to go into like the love detector, the truth detector or something like that, and it would basically, are those ones the perfect match, and either yes or no, and if they weren't, it's like, okay, well now I ruled you out as my match. And it was like, oh, we put together a team of psychologists and scientists. Like, okay, it's all bullshit, whatever, it's fine. But they did a season where it was 20 people and all of them were queer, so you didn't even know, is my perfect match a man or a woman or a non-binary person? Like, it was all And I was like, I would love if they did like a bachelor, bachelorette sort of thing with that in mind. Especially think about if you had like as an example on The Bachelor, if you had the women falling in love with each other in the house instead of with The Bachelor, that's tea. That's drama, people. Like, I wish they would do that. They haven't. It's very... It's because it's like 60-year-old women watching. You know what I mean? Like, it's like ABC. They won't lean in. It took forever to even have like the first Black Bachelor and the first Black Bachelorette. You know, like there were white people for a very, very long time. And now, it's like most of the time, I doubt they're meeting the diversity inclusion situation in terms of the contestants. But Anyway, it yeah, I would love if they did something like that. I just find it so much more interesting. Like, there's so many more variables, you know?
I love the idea of them, like, potentially hooking up, like, amongst themselves. It and that introducing in a, another dynamic.
It did happen it did. In a... Okay, don't quote me. It might have been Japan. Was it like The Bachelor Japan or something? Where one of the contestants was like, I have to leave because I'm in love with like her. It was like a thing. Yeah.
Ooh.
I know. That's what I'm saying. We need this, please. Yeah. Anyway, that would be fun. That would be great.
Yeah.
Todd the Librarian says, unlike Merv, I do not regret spending time watching this. The highest of praise. So, agree.
I love that we're not alone with our absolute hatred of Merv and how bad it was.
So bad.
I felt so vindicated. And do you know what's really weird? This film, hour and 45, I did feel it. A little bit. I did feel like it kind of like the shaved off about 15 minutes, maybe.
We didn't need the whole expedition where they sneak away from the cameras and they go by the water and like literally, who cares?
Speaking of which, when they did that, when he returned, he made reference to it. It's like, oh, what we did back there, was that not private? Do you think they fucked? Because the way he says it, I was just like, because I thought it was just a smoochy smooch until he said that. And I was like,
I thought it was also just a smoochy smooch.
I don't know. Maybe I was reading too much into it.
Maybe. Yeah, I don't know. I didn't think so, but I don't know. It's possible, I suppose.
I have too many theories about this film. This film should not elicit theories, and it has elicited them from me. I think
it's really intended to be watched in that way.
I'm going to start a Wikipedia for this film.
There already is one.
No, what the hell?
There's a wiki.
No, I mean like its own wiki, you know, like a dedicated like
the wrong Paris one. Wiki. Yeah. Got it. Yeah, yeah, oh my god, that'd be insane if there was one of those. Jesus.
Oh.
okay. let's do our you had me at. So the most romantic moment or the best grand gesture. Obviously, I don't think there are a ton of them. You know, she's giving up the money, right? Like in Paris, she gives up the money. But I thought the most romantic thing that happened was him being like, hey, I'm going to propose, reject me and take the money. I was like, that is so romantic.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I don't know.
I think I'm going to attach mine to that a little bit because I totally agree. Like, I think that was probably the biggest and best moment. But I think I'm going to like just have this pull it back just a smidge and go for the bit before where he's like, no, you can't let her, you got to give her money back because he does care about her going to art school.
Yeah.
Like, he's just like, he's upset about everything. Also, yeah. I guess as well, when they are having the conflict, it's not about her choosing art school and not necessarily choosing him. It's about the bad communication, which I did take as a really good green flag. Yeah. That was the problem for him. And I was like, shit, that's kind of good on our like measurement scale. Yeah. I'm like, this one's going to actually do quite well, I think.
Yeah. Well, speaking of meet cute, meet creep, meter time, baby. Yeah, I agree with you. I think he's mostly upset because she, in his mind, okay, you get to Paris, I choose you at the end of the show, and then what? Then you just ditch me and stay in Paris? Like, it's more about the fact that she didn't tell him. And, you know, she could have told him when they, I mean, it's tough to tell him on camera is the thing, right? Like she can't say it while she's on the show, but they had like such an extended period of time where they went to that, like by that water thing. And then she lives like an hour away and they visited her home. So they were in the car 2 hours and she waits until they're pulling down the drive to be like, hey, I gotta tell you something. I agree. I think the biggest red flag there was like, girl, you had so much time and you didn't say anything.
Yeah, but I think you can also understand why she might have like kind of did that. Like, there's still a sense of him being on the wrong side of this like conflict. Like she's not scamming them, but like she's using them to get the money for the thing that she actually needs to right an injustice in her life, which is the fact that you have to pay medical bills for things in America. Like,
welcome to America.
So if anything, really what she should have done was recognize that her enemy wasn't this production company, but it's just
the healthcare system.
I think I'm kind of leaning higher up on the scale. I don't quite think they're soulmates.
I wouldn't put them at soulmates. However, I would say they're quite compatible. Number one, I think no matter where she moves to, where she goes, she's always going to return back to her hometown. It is where her grandmother and her sisters live. I do think like she has ties to there.
Yeah.
And it helps that his ranch, his farm is literally only an hour away from that. So that is like, you know, when we're talking logistics, that's a good sign. He's very pro her going to art school. He's like, sure, I'll hang out in Paris for a while. Why the hell not? I don't care that you're a shitty artist. I'll hang out here for a hot minute. I do think they're compatible in that way. I don't know. Like he's just kind of like generational wealth, right? Like job, right? Okay. I feel like it's kind of like I'd put them at like the lower end of green flags galore, probably. Like they're both hot. Like where are the red flags here?
Yeah, that's the thing. I don't think there are any major like red flags. I think the only red flag that ever was poor communication and not really knowing each other and meeting through a reality TV show. But like, really, yeah, that's like in the context of everything.
What was his motivation for going on the show? We know hers.
I think it might have something to do with multiple women, you know, lusting after you, maybe.
Okay. Yeah, sure.
Could be an incentive.
Sure.
Maybe he's actually romantic. Maybe he was looking for love.
Stop it. No, that's not real.
He could be.
No.
We don't know.
No one goes on reality TV when they're like, I want a story about romance. No.
Wow.
I don't know. What do you think? Where would you put them?
Green flags galore, I think, is certainly the safest option. You may say lower end. I may say just a smidge ahead of 10 Things I Hate About You.
Absolutely not. No. How dare you? How absolutely dare. We just talked about the who has more chemistry. Heath Ledger, below budget freaking Matthew McConaughey?
Yeah, but will it last?
Yes, I have faith in
these.
I don't have faith in these two.
I've got more faith in these two for lasting longer, if only because they're small town people and they're not going to be any other people.
He hates peas. Gonna be fewer okay, Stuart, he hates peas.
Fair play.
I remember that he hates peas. How dare you? I can't believe you. People are going to riot. I hope you know that. People are going to write in and have things to say. Maybe.
Go for it. Do it. I challenge you.
Okay. Let's move on to Best in Showman's score. This is where we talk about how much we liked the movie and give it a... I don't like that your face is doing what it's doing right now.
I'm doing what I usually do, which is looking at my past scores and thinking, they're a bit high. And I'm thinking, why on earth did I even give Merv a full one? I don't think it deserves it.
I know. I kind of want to move mine down from a two. No, it's fine. It's whatever. There was a dog.
I'll leave it.
And he wore dinosaur shirts.
And he did have the SLGs, so...
He did. There's been a lot of SLG talk in my house this week.
it's been a lot this week.
a lot, both because of the pit. And then there was a moment where Daddy Giles on Buffy has his little SLG moment.
He's always got his SLG moment.
Yeah, but okay, I'm going to spoil season 5 of Buffy. So now is your time. I'm about to say something that happens and you've been forewarned. Okay. So please skip ahead like 30 seconds.
There's if you're watching on YouTube, I'll wave when it's over.
There you go. There's a moment where he kills a guy. And before he does it, he's just like, well, Buffy can't do this. She's too good. She's a hero. And he like pulls out his glasses. He like cleans them and then he puts them on and then he like strangles a person. And it is so hot.
Amazing.
Yeah. And the way he does it, he's just like so casual, you know, just putting his slutty little glasses on. Daddy
Jeff. No more spoilers. That's hilarious, though.
Yeah. So anyway, I don't know how we even arrived here. I don't know how SLGs came
up. Slightly little glasses. Yeah. Justification of Merv trying to give it a point. One though, the wrong Paris. This is the thing. I enjoyed it more than Say Anything.
Yeah.
It is nowhere near as iconic as 10 Things I Hate About You.
Yeah.
Is it better than The Holiday? I'm gonna say I enjoyed it more than The Holiday.
Oh my god.
I'm gonna give it like, can we give halves?
I have halves on the bar.
Give it 6.5.
6.5. Okay. Wowza. 6.5. Wow.
Tell me it wasn't enjoyable.
Here's the thing.
Funny.
There is a difference though between like, this is a classic film I will watch every year, and this is a trash film I'll probably watch once every 5 to 10 years to make fun of. Like there has to be a difference there.
No. Love and respect them both, but don't bring this Grace and Taryn Tastemakers energy to this podcast. We are here to review trash podcasts and films even. We are here to bring in the rom and the com.
Yeah.
Did it bring the rom? Yes. Did it bring the com? Yes.
I think that it's more com than rom would be my argument. But it did have both. But it definitely needed more in the comedy than the romantic part. This is not a film where I would be like, oh, I'm in my feels, let me go watch like a TikTok compilation of all their best moments. Like, it's not gonna happen, you know? Like, it's just not gonna happen. And for that reason, I think, because the com was there, I think I'm this for the first time ever, I'm gonna be slightly lower than you. I know. In my rating. And I think I'm going to put it at a flat 5. I think I'm going to go right down the middle of like...
Oh, that was really low.
I liked this movie. It's a bad movie. I enjoyed my time watching it. I wouldn't like run out to watch it again. You know, it doesn't leave me like thinking about it in the off time. You know, I think a flat 5. I think it deserves the 5.
I just think I have fair. Rating. I think maybe I may appreciate crap films in a way. Like, I hold them really dearly. I really do. Like, we talk about like doing these hate watches. I don't think it's hate watching anymore. Maybe I do enjoy these films.
I think you need to have a reckoning with yourself. Because I think you like them.
Am I turning into an old lady?
Listen, I've been accused of being an old lady before, so it's fine. Just embrace it.
Give it time, Jess. You'll get there.
Already halfway there. Let me tell you, I don't leave my house much. Most of my like hobbies are old lady-ish hobbies. I'm there, baby. There are days I wake up, my back hurts. Like, I'm just saying, we're already there. I make noises when I stand up and sit down. I mean, come on.
Oh, yeah. Who doesn't love tea? Like entering your 30s and just go every time you stand up? Like,
oh, if you don't make the noises, yeah. Yeah, how old are you even? I mean, yeah, I think this I think it's fun. I thought this was a fun movie. So should we talk about what our next pick is? Because if the people remember, if you have a good memory, people, you know what we're watching next, because we made a deal. We struck a bargain. And the bargain was that my pick is going to be the 2000, let's see, what year did it come out? 2010 film Easy A. So I'm excited. I freaking love Easy A. I'm pumped to watch this movie.
I haven't watched it in so long. I want to re-explore their weird family dynamic, like just Stanley Tucci being the coolest dad. Some great quotes. Maybe getting into the Amanda Bynes of everything, because Amanda Bynes is in it, if I remember rightly.
Is she in it?
Yeah.
Bynes in this film?
I'm pretty sure she's in
it. You are correct. She is in this movie. It has been a very long time since I've seen this movie. It's been at least 5 years.
Yeah.
Since I've seen this movie.
But we get into oh my God. The Natasha Bedingfield card is in this film, right?
I gotta back it. Yeah, that's this movie. I'm really excited to watch this movie. I think it's gonna be a really fun time. We've both seen this movie. We both love this movie. So, I mean, come on. And this is one that I know we had decided on to remind people. There's so many references to other romantic comedies in this movie. It plays into so many tropes and imagery, and there's a lot in here from, romantic comedies of the yesteryears. Mm-hmm. So I'm really excited to get into this one. I think it's going to be a ton of fun.
I think it's also going to be healthy for us to get off of this straight to streaming kick as well. Let's get back into some stuff that came out in theaters, right?
Yeah. Let's get into the heyday. I'm really happy. No more things like Merv. Merv is just the punching bag forever now on this podcast. But it had to happen for us to not have to watch films like that again. just never again. I don't know. What else, Stuart? What have you been watching, Stuart? What have you been recommended? What have you been watching?
I watched the absolute crap out of The Pit recently. I'd never watched it before. I binged season one in 2 days, which was probably not good for my mental health, as it was definitely an experience.
I warned you.
But Dr. Robbie in his slightly little glasses. I mean, what am I going to say? They're very compelling. Oh,
Dr. Robbie can get it. I can't. There is something about a scruffy man with glasses and a hoodie. Stop it. Stop it. He's wearing the hell out of that hoodie. Okay. And there's one scene where when the whole thing with no spoiler, the whole thing with Pit Fest happens and he takes the hoodie off. I'm like, he fucking means business, man. He took that hoodie off. He's getting ready to doctor the hell out of that place.
Yeah, that was like the doctor equivalent of rolling up the sleeves, like a ton of work, get down to business kind of thing. Yeah. Solid show. Fell in love with half the cast.
How could you not?
Yeah. Such great characters. I am absolutely Team Mel on everything. If anyone ever hurts Mel, I will find them and I will kill them.
Thank you.
I'm going to say it right now. Direct to camera. I will do it.
Find you and kill you. Yes, exactly. The Pit is great. I am 2 for 2. I got my husband to watch The Pit. He also binged it not quite as quickly. I think it was 4 or 5 days maybe for him.
Wow.
Leading up to the season 2 premiere. So I got him into it recently. I freaking love The Pit so much. And now we were we need a new show, because we're at the point now where the only thing that we are watching that is airing week to week that is scripted is The Pit. I'm like, we need something else. We need other shows to watch. So we decided we'd go through, we made a list, and we put, I think it was 5 or 6 shows on this list. And we're we're going to spin a wheel and we're going to watch at least one episode of each one of these. And then we'll decide which ones we like and which ones we want to continue with. And some of these, neither of us have seen. Some of them, I've seen a few. Some Will has seen some. So on this list, what we have seen so far, we have seen the first episode of Prison Break, which is pretty fun. Oh, he's cringing.
I've never watched it. I just have no wants to watch it.
Yeah. I mean, it's interesting. So one episode of Prison Break we've seen. We've seen one episode of Vikings.
Vikings good.
Which is okay. It was just very, there was a lot happening and I don't know that I was ready to pay that much attention to it, you know? We have now seen almost all of the show Beef, which started as a result of this, which is very good. We've seen a few episodes of Veep, which is something Will has seen and I have not. We've seen the pilot of The West Wing.
Jess, no, please, 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 please watch The West Wing. Please, please.
I've seen all of it. Well, no, so I haven't seen all of it. I've seen the majority of it, I will say.
You're not on quote level with me yet. Like, you're not on reference level. Like, you don't get half the stuff I throw out to you sometimes. I hate it.
No.
Like, I need more people on my West Wing level.
Yeah, so we've seen one episode of West Wing. And, we've seen two or three episodes of True Blood.
I quit. If you watch True Blood over The West Wing, I'm going to riot.
But here's the thing. Sometimes it's like, you're not, like you said, sometimes you're in the mood for trash.
Anyway, that's
what we've been watching lately. And True Blood, I have seen, almost all of. There's a few seasons I stopped watching at a certain point, but I've seen a lot of it, and Will has never seen it. And there are some moments that, like, it's not intended to be funny. And we were just, like, dying laughing. Like, there's a Sookie, like, gets a hit in the head, and so she has, like, a whole bloody head face situation. And she wakes up, and this vampire dude's just, like, over top of her, and he, like, licked her whole face because he's a vampire. It's bloody.
Is it John Cusack? Like, what the hell?
What are you doing? He's laughing. He just, like, licked her. Imagine if she woke up, he's licking her like a fucking dog.
Oh no, that's wrong.
And then there's another moment, and this is all in, like, the pilot or the second episode. This isn't in the spoiler at all. She gets really hurt, and vampire blood has, like, healing properties. So she has to drink his blood, and so he, like, bites his own wrist to make, like, you know, to make himself bleed so that, and she starts, like, making out with his wrist.
What the fuck? What? Why are you watching this show, Jess? It sounds awful. This doesn't even sound like McDonald's. This sounds like like literal garbage on a plate.
Did you know that? So you know that Maria from The Last of Us, she is in it. Like, I feel like it was one of her first things.
Really?
And her character named Tara, because this takes place in Bonton, Louisiana. And so she has such a ridiculous accent.
Oh, like, no.
God damn it, Sookie. Like, it's just so extra. And she is, like, she has, like, a comeback for everything. Like, she just is, like, yells at everyone. She's just, like, so, oh, my God. Yeah. It's so funny. We're not watching it in the way that it is intended to be consumed. We're watching it with the sole purpose of being like, this is hilarious.
Right. Okay. I was otherwise thinking that this is a bit of a cry for help for our listeners and being like, please suggest something other than this. Please.
Listen, if you have suggestions for anything we can add to our list, please let me know. I'm also in season 3 of my Good Place rewatch. So this is what's
good
happening.
Place, so good.
So good. So that's what's happening over here. I really can't. Anyway, I don't know.
We need to wrap this up.
We gotta get out of here. I gotta go watch more True Blood, baby.
No.
So if you aren't already, subscribe. You Had Me at Podcast. You Had Meat Pod everywhere. We'll be back in 2 weeks with Easy A. So until then, if you do not have a spur, this is the end of the rodeo for you.
I hate it. Let's go.